Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight, once more, I want to say a very big thank you to the pastorate. Thank you so much for feeding us with God's word, for grooming us to grow, and helping us become like what we should be. The Lord bless and strengthen your hand more and more in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, sirs. Tonight, we'll be looking at God's word. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Your word brings light and understanding to the simple. Lord, we thank you that tonight as we eat from your word, our lives will never remain the same. Father, our lives will speak volumes from what we hear tonight. Our lives will become transformed, will become better. Yes, our lives begin to metamorphose into a better version of what it used to be. Glory to you, for your word works wonders in our lives, even tonight. Those that are here, those that are online, everyone gets blessed from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, I'm just briefly going to share God's word on just do it like David. Hallelujah. Just do it like David. And when we say just do it like David, just do it God's way. Because David did it God's way. Hallelujah. Just do it like David. Some things David did as a young boy, he did them spontaneously. But they were right because like Pastor taught us long ago, he said, it's not at the battlefront that you learn to use the gun. You learn to use it long before battle comes. So that it's not at the war front. You are now trying to learn, is it like this they do it? No. So another thing again, our pastor also said again that when they press you, what comes out is what you have stored up on your inside. This was also repeated even on Tuesday when we're listening to God's word on faith. Yes, I hope we all listened on Tuesday. The radio broadcast was actually talking about that. That when you come face to face with challenges, with troubles, what we speak up, what we come out, your response, your reaction will be what you have loaded yourself with. Hallelujah. Let's see God's word. The book of 1 Samuel. Hallelujah, that's what my song will be, that's what my song will be, that's what my song will be. 1 Samuel 17, hallelujah. It's a long read, so I'm going to take it verse by verse. Amen. Okay, it says, now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and were assembled at Sokor, which belongs to Judah. Hallelujah. Do not forget, Jesse, David's father, is from Judah. Hallelujah. So, they assembled at Sokor, which belongs to Judah. So, that place in itself was David's own father's ground, and encamped between Sokor and Azekah in Ev's Damin. Saul and the men of Israel were encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits. 6 cubits. When I first read it, I saw 6 cubits. And I checked. And it says, 6 cubits is not 6 feet. Oh. 6 cubits is approximately 10 feet. Amen. 6 cubits. And a span almost 10 feet. Okay. And he had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of mail. And the coat weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had bronze sheen armor on his legs and a bronze javelin across his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. His spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And a shield bearer went before him. Someone had to even carry his shield. This man must be very, very powerful. Imagine all of those measurements of things that were on him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not Saul's servant?" Take note. There are things I want us to take note of. One of them is, in verse 1, like I said, Sokol, which belongs to Judah, actually happens to be Jesse's town, because Judah is Jesse's home ground. You know, so the battle was in David's own ground. Hallelujah. You will see that when we get to verse, I think around verse 12 or so. But then, from verse 4 to 7, you will see where what you just see is the description or weight or size of all that Goliath had on. Praise the Lord. Which tells us that the description, weight, or size of the problem does not frighten God. It does not frighten God. I've heard people say, "Hey, if you see the problem, hey, now because you don't know, it's because you are not the one in the problem." It doesn't matter. Because how big the problem is, we're not frightening God. Hallelujah. Because God is the Almighty. And before him, all things are nothing. Those things that seems like problems to you, challenges, they are nothing before God Almighty. Hallelujah. It's us that needs to see the way we ought to see. Seeing with God's eyes. See those same problems with the eyes of God. What has killed so many people? I remember some years ago when we heard about, I've not come to Lagos at the time. I was still in Delta, and then we heard about Ikeja bomb blast. And what we heard was that a larger portion of people, a larger number of people who died, were people who are not even resident in the cantonment. I don't know if you understand. People who live far from where the thing happened, they are the ones that died. People who live within that territory, not very many died. Why? Panic, fear. Hey, it has happened. And everybody start to run helter skelter and scamper for, and some jump into river, some jump into and all that, and they kill themselves in the process. So the size of the problem does not threaten God, does not frighten God, does not move God, because he is almighty. So when we see things from his viewpoint, when we see things from his eyes, from his focal point, then we can handle those same things and we can speak to those same situations the way he has ordered us in the scriptures to speak to them. Just do it like David. I remember I watched a movie long ago, a football documentary. Bend It Like Beckham. Bend It Like Beckham. I still remember that. Lovely, lovely football documentary. And in that movie, I learned that Beckham would position his ball in a particular point and kick the ball and ensure that it gets, you know, there's what they call, that was when I learned about banana kick. So the ball goes like this. And if he's targeting that angle, that's where the ball, he stays here and kicks the ball and he wants the ball to go to that end. Everybody have positioned here that they've blocked everywhere. But the ball will just go and enter that place. What are your strategies? What are your plans? What do you have? So the brothers of David were trained soldiers. Listen, they were fighting at the war front with King Saul. King Saul was a trained soldier, was a trained army. It was good in terms of battle. And to be at the war front side by side with such a person, and with the description of David's three brothers, that tells you that those were not just guys that are just not fit for the army. They were very, very fit for the army. Amen. So they were fighting side by side with King Saul at the battlefront. In verse 8 to 11, I saw that Goliath with his own hand changed the course of the fight from war, which was supposed to happen between the Philistines and the Israelites. He changed the fight from just war, because if they were fighting as war is, you see, they will use spear, they will use sword, some will kill some, blah, 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 and all that. Nobody will care who is mighty, who is high as, you know, his head is almost touching the roof and all that. Everybody will just be fighting and hustling and just trying to overpower the other side. But he took it to another level. And that was where he said, am I not a Philistine and are you not Saul's servant? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel. Remember, he called them Saul's servants. He now said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. No. You can't just come and insult my nation that I represent. You are insulting the God of my nation. We have a God that we call on. And everybody knows the God of Israel. And so one uncircumcised Philistine from nowhere just came and was bragging for days. And nobody dare challenge him. Nobody could stand to, you know, put up a challenge against him. 11 says, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Even King Saul, tall, giant, with all his stately look and everything. They were afraid, dismayed, greatly afraid. Hallelujah. Verse 12, David was the son of an Ephratite of Bethlehem in Judah, named Jesse, who had 8 sons. You know, by this time, Jesse, in the days of Saul, was old, advanced in age. His 3 elder sons had followed Saul into battle. You see? Their names were Eliab, the firstborn, next Abinadab, and third, Shammah. David was the youngest. So David was nothing near these 3. So, you know what lastborn is like now? No wonder every time David was always at the back in the field. Somewhere at the back. Always somewhere that is insignificant. But does insignificant means unimportant, useless? No. In their eyes, it's just an insignificant show. Let him go and do it. If someone has to wash the plate, it has to be David. Oh boy, now you be the smallest of this house, my friend. You better go and wash that plate. And they will do it. Who will feed the flock? I beg, Smalley, go and do it. Everything he was commanded to do, and he obeyed. But it was a training ground for him. a training ground that later gave him a resolve far better than the men who had fought with the king in the battlefront. You don't know what it's like to be in the army when you have an uncle who just came and with his uniform to pick you one day from school. You know what it's like, comes in with a military car to pick you. Your respect that day is something else. Your respect that day is something else. Hallelujah. So, I also gather that Goliath, like I said, took it from war to a one-on-one personal confrontational battle line or fight with David when he made that pronouncement, because others run. They all ran away. So I learned something from there, and what's that? Choose your fight. It's not everything, and it's not every time that you must. So choose your fight. There are things that calls for your attention. No need. Like, I'll show you one of those. Let's read down and so you see it. In verse, where did we stop? Verse 14, right? But David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. The Philistine came out morning and evening, presenting himself for 40 days. And Jesse said to David, his son, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to your brothers at the camp. Also take these 10 cheeses, to the commander of their thousand. To the commander of their thousand. See how your brothers fare and bring some token from them. So it pays to be in the army then. It pays. So because David will come home with some token. Hallelujah. It was enough to entice him and say, I want to join the army quickly, even though I'm young. No. But where he's been relegated to the background, where he tenders the sheep, is a ground that was preparing him for something great ahead. So most times, what you think another person has that in your eyes is like, oh, I wish I could just get this. If I just get this, my life is just, this is all I need. I don't need something else. No. Sometimes what you have, as little as it is, may be greater. Moses didn't have something great, just a common stick. But what did it turn out to? God worked with that. Hallelujah. The woman that we talked about some weeks ago didn't have anything except small portion of oil. But she became an owner of a refinery, producing and selling oil to nations and making huge money, to the point that she was able to settle the debts her husband owed. Do not forget, her husband was one of the sons of the prophets. So he was a man of God. So there's a tendency that you even go to church, it's about applying what you are taught. The Bible says that we should not be hearers alone. We should do what we hear. That's what brings results. If pastor preached for the next 30 years and you are hearing it, and you're not doing anything about it, Oyo is your case. Because there's nothing that will work. So we have to be hearers and doers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So from verse 12, what I saw there is a proper introduction of who David is. Like I said, David's brothers were trained soldiers while he was just a shepherd taking care of the sheep. Have you read Psalm 23? See what David wrote. Give me Psalm 23. Let's see what David wrote. You know that can only come from someone that has actually tended sheep to the point that he had saved them from danger when the lion and the bear came. He said, Psalm 23, please. Where he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. If God cares for you, He cares for you indeed. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yeah. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Yeah, go on. He restores my soul. Even the times when I'm worried, when things are bad, when it looks like nothing is working, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, hallelujah. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Go on. He said, you prepare a table before me. What did he do to Goliath? God had prepared a table before him in the presence of that enemy that wanted to ridicule him. Goliath said, am I a dog that you came to me with a sling? He came with a sword, a mighty sword. David did not come with a sword. But guess what? David removed his head with his own sword. The battle you are in right now, you may not need all of the ammunitions. The ammunitions will show up at the battlefront. Hallelujah. Don't go bothering yourself to acquire things that you don't need. All you need is God's word, because his word will not fail. It will show up and it will do what he says it can do. Hallelujah. He said, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. I love that part where he said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So when you come to the house of God, and then one little thing, you are angry, you say, I'm not going to church again. You are not doing pastor. You are doing yourself. You're doing yourself. You're doing yourself. I was talking to someone, and I was trying to encourage the person. I said, I cannot imagine myself missing service. He said, you know, some people feel that there are people who should be in church and there are people who should be excused. And I told her, I said, do you know why I can't? I said, this person shared a testimony about me. And then I told her, I said, do you know why I cannot afford, except I'm not around, even at that, I will be online. I said, do you know why? My life depends on this. My life depends on it. My life depends on it. You don't dey bush before between 1 and 3 a.m. Where court people carry you and they mash you. Police, they chase them. You are caught in the middle. My friend and I, we were caught in the middle there. And you say you cannot come to church. Say, my leg depend me. Or want to do it. You never serious. No, serious. People in the face of battle take time, cover their Bible with newspaper and in the north, and they go to church. Why do you think they are doing that? Putting their lives on the line. Because the word is very, very important. It helps our lives, prunes us, and helps us become. The Bible says we metamorphose into this very picture that we see. You think you're doing pastor, people should come and queue in your house and be begging you and say, hey, brother, please come now, come church now. No, stay. When the problem come and overwhelm you, they're not going to tell you. Only you go run. If now juju house, you see yourself, they're not going to tell you. Only you. Because sometimes when people want to see something strong, I can't afford to miss it, because my life is governed by this word of God. It has helped my life. So there was gunshot, and the cultists, they ran away, and the police came, and pastors, they even marched, they thought we were, they took us for dead. As we got up, we were running. The guy fell into a ditch. We know no road. It was dark. Managed, and after I don't peel all our body finish. And you see God's word, that you can sit in AC like this and be enjoying God's word. You say no. They don't. Some of us should hear the story of Sharia and what's happening in the north. Hallelujah. We're told in Bible school, because we have missionaries who they take Bibles and put them in Palasa phone, this touch phone. They put Bible there in Hausa language. They put it in different languages, translate it in Hausa,
and put give them. I was asked, those people in Connaught where the battle is, where war is happening, they are, many of them are ministers now of this same gospel. You know, because there, their family could even kill them. They hide in booths. Booths, we hear testimonies, they hide in booths and travel from like, yeah, to like, Ijebode. And then before, they now take maybe like bike and go to Bible school. When they are coming back, they do the same thing. They will hide in booths and come back. People will know that they are hiding to go and learn God's word. They are also sharing. So they share that this thing. Like, you know, they like this radio. So they listen to God's word. And you have sophisticated phones like this that have Bible, different version. You are not reading it. It's for pastor. But it's in your phone. May God help us in Jesus' name. David used what he has, what he had. So follow God's word. Get yourself trained. Get yourself equipped. And do it just like David. He was fearless. Let me tell you one of the things that happened. When David got there to give his brothers food, there's something I wrote about that food thing. Even though the Bible says that Jesse was already old in age at Saul's time when Saul was king, not with their mate, that old papa. You can imagine his children with Saul and any fight was. So he was an old man. But even at that, he had something to offer. He was sending food to them. We all have to have something we are doing so we can bring something. We can bring something. We can reach out to people and touch something. You know, some people is give me, 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 give me. Even from sleep, they can be receiving. They have never in their life thought of giving. It's just receive, receive, give me, give me, give me. They can be sleeping and just be talking. Say, give me, give me, give me, give me. No, Jesse, old man, would prepare cheese, bread, and everything. I said, take to the army, not only for his children, take to them. Do you know what that means? The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Don't just be receive, receive, receive. Sometimes give. We're going to see one of my friends that was bereaved, lost his father. So as we're going, as our custom is in our old boys association in my secondary school, we will buy, everybody will buy something, branch a supermarket, buy something, anything you feel will be a blessing to the house, just buy. So one of my friends called me. I said, where are you now? I said, I'm in a Blanco supermarket at Lekki. He said, okay, what did I say? Normal now, they won't buy something. He said, no need, this guy get. That was his word, this guy get. I bet he only pour water for a cup of food. I said, no, but it's our custom. When we came to your house, when his own house got born, when we came to his house, we all did the same thing. And now it's somebody now. You say no. And that happens too, even in church. May God help us in Jesus' name. Even though, I will say this, even though your pastor is very blessed and is okay, he's not asking you, does not mean that you should not look for something to do to say, I appreciate you, I love you, sir. Yeah. Thank God I'm not your pastor, so I can say it, I'm free. Hallelujah. But it's another way to get yourself blessed. Be a giver. It may not be money. It may not be what you... It may be anything. It may even be a word of encouragement. Hallelujah. When I was still in the bank, one day, I noticed that my bank manager... what was it? Clip. You know, as small as clip, tie clip. Every time it's without tie clip. And when he's doing presentation in our meetings, his tie will be flying up and down, all that. Thank God for somebody like Sister Tali. Sister Tali sees a problem, she fixes it. One day I was telling my wife, I say, the prayer I pray for Natalie. That Tali cannot see something and just ignore and just go, She will fix it. It doesn't matter who it is. That's it. Be a blessing. Mommy Okewe does the same thing. You see a need, meet it. That's why God is showing it to you. You know, some people can be in church and be complaining from January to December. Say, that one self, if they do like this, this one self, if they do like this. You wait, they see everything. You are not changing anything. You are worse than all of them that you are complaining about. So I bought the clip with cufflinks and I gave to the man. You know what he did? He invited me to his office. He said, nobody say I don't get this money. He said, but he has never had the time. And nobody has ever thought of this for the past 3 years. In this branch. So he wanted to give me an envelope. I said, no. It just came from my heart. find a way to be a blessing to someone that seemingly, the same thing we're talking about, when we say Vision 130, find a way to reach out to someone. You know, it's very difficult for people to reach out to people. They say, Pastor, we announce every day after service, reach out to someone, reach out to someone. Say, what do you call service? If you come, if you come, you're not going to be like, eh? And that's somebody that shares the same DNA with you. Yes. The same blood of Jesus with you. Yes, you have the same goal. Heaven is the goal. So we are shouting, heaven is the goal. Heaven is the goal. But in your mind, you are kicking the person, if you like, fall by the side. No, no, no. Reach out. Tell yourself, we all have something to offer. And I will do my best. Amen. So, David's brothers said to me, I'll say this in Pidgin. Because I was just seeing the brothers in the way worried people will see a younger one. They say, eh, you don't come here, come show yourself. That's what it said to David. If you read it, you just come show. Okay, what do you define for you now? You just come show yourself. Because David was asking, what did they say they will do for the person who he say they will give him wife and riches and nobody money as a young woman, he is packy head. So David asked another person. Why ask another person? You know, here the first time. He asked again and again. That's why the brothers said, hey, come. You don't wash plate finish? He said, yes. You don't cook finish? He said, yes. The sheep, who you live on for? He said, I give unto. So that thing David did, you are in church. You don't want to find somebody you can train to become like you or help somebody grow to become like you so that God's house will have a replicate of different people doing different things that will help the ministry grow, then there's a problem. Hallelujah. We cannot keep coming every day, only this number, every day, this number. Let's reach out to someone that is unreached out there. There are unreached people out there. Let's reach out to them and bring them to the fold so that they can eat this same good food that we hear that is growing us. Amen. That's why every day when we hear, when I come to service and I take my notes, I go back again and I listen again, I play it again, and I listen to pastor again. My wife is even worse than me. That one will listen to it like how many times? She will listen and listen and listen again. Hallelujah. But you see what he's doing? It's working. It's making our lives become better. So when they told David that, David said, leave me alone. I don't find trouble now. What can I do? I just come here my own. Now I bring within the same, make I bring home. Check this. David left the sheep in the care of someone. Someone trained. Read. There is another version that said, a good hand. That person is also a trained person who can tender the sheep. You know, just leave and say, technical. And if they like me, if camera like me, spoil. Just lift it. Like, no, no, no. Or you just first say, no, no, no. If the keyboard like, make it no, make it a brain smoke. No, no. He left it in the hand of a good person who can tender it. When he took the food also, he dropped the food with the baggage carrier. The person, there's somebody who carries the food. So there's a place to put things. Not that we drop things lackadaisically and invite rats instead of human beings to fellowship. Amen. And when pastor say, we will be available to walk, everybody raise their hand. But when the time reach, you don't see anybody. Everybody don't sky. No, 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 no. It's our Father's work. Let's put ourselves in. There is gain in doing that. Because that's what made David to be able to prove himself. Look at how he killed Goliath. He came simply. And then Saul even gave him armor. Say, you are not trained. This guy has been trained from his youth. He has been fighting. He has awards. He has records of battles he has fought. David said, I have records too. So that you're small, it's important, it's significant. That woman said, what is this among so many? It is important. It is important. It is important. It is very significant. Don't look down on it. That's what God is looking for. To walk and move with you to the next level. It is significant. Hallelujah. What do you have? David said, I have experience to see my CV. Several times, my innocent sheep. When lion comes, when bear comes, I target them. when they want to attack, I grab them and tear them in pieces. That is a good CV. Saul must have laughed. We are talking about war with men, giants, with armor. You are talking animal. One small bingo by the, at the back. Don't let anybody write down your, shut down your what you have. You have voice. You can sing. It was one of my daughters was saying that before they started preparing for recreational. When you say, come and sing. She said, I'm not, that she's not the one that sings. It's the other one that sings. I said, what? In this house? And they sing. My papa, they sing. My father have released 2 albums. Said, you stay waiting. We're going to know who born you. When they started Riaza, she had a very fantastic voice. When she pitch or when she do backup, it's a natural auto that is wanted anywhere. You see how the devil tries to box us in a corner. I say, this TV is nothing to write to my back. Just kick it there. Just throw it away. And then you just going to throw it away and just say, okay, you are looking. Many people have dropped their focus and they have carried other people's soul. Then somebody said, if you don't have what to do with your time, someone will borrow you to do their... That's what is happening to so many Christians. So you see people move from... I know one guy, he has moved from one place to the other for many years. If you see, I'm also guitar, he carry guitar. From 30-something years, he's been carrying guitar like madman everywhere. Because he does not have a root, he does not have focus, does not have a pastor. He goes from church to church everywhere. Guitar, he carry guitar like Majer Fashek. I tell him one day, I said, nah, Remeda, I made a tie you. May God help us in Jesus' name. So, he dared Goliath and said, this day, I will remove your head. Such effrontery, such boldness, I will remove your head. He wasn't speaking of his capacity. He was speaking about the capacity of the God on his inside. When we brag with God, he will show himself strong. I woke up on Monday with a pain on my knee. Nothing happened. Just pain. Swollen knee. I started to use a stick to support myself. As I was coming down from the stairs, I now fell again on top that one. But in the evening, I said, I don't know what to do, but I know what to do. My wife was surprised. I started on Tuesday, after we listened to God's word, I was listening on as I was coming from there. As I was listening, as I came, I started tapping my feet. I started tapping. Because the pain was so excruciating. Very, very bad. I've never felt anything like that. I was tapping the leg, and I was praying in tongues. That message was so fantastic. And I was just, from there, I climbed upstairs. I told them, I said, I don't want the stick. Take the stick away. I climbed, went upstairs. I brought a stool with 3 layers. So I would do like this, and I would put this leg on the first layer. I'll put the second one, like that, until I did it to the top. And then after a while, my wife was surprised. She saw me. I took a skipping rope, and I started skipping. You will do some mad things, some things that may seem mad, because the natural man cannot understand. But you know what you're doing, because the Spirit of God is at work in you, causing you to do the things that God will want you to do. Because it's not about you, it's about God. Hallelujah. For lack of time, I will run up here till we have another time again. Hallelujah. Let's just bow down our heads. There are things that God would have you do. There are things that God will want you to do. Not because of yourself, but because of people that you need to reach. But because of lives that are dependent on what he wants you to do. There are people that need to be encouraged. There are people who will commit suicide if you are not who you are. There are people who will die if you are not who you are. There are people who will go astray if you are not where you ought to be. Let's begin to pray and talk to God. Lord, I'll stay at my doorpost. I'll stay at my proper place. I will go to the battlefront. I'll put my life on the line for you. I will stand for the word. I will put the word to practice. I will do everything the word says. I will be bold about running with the word, what it says. Yes, thank you, Father. Glory be to you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray.